Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." Again, Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, "So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and they served the things that God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise." Amen. Well, on today's show, we'll continue our conversation with author and pastor Dion Thomas from the King's Sanctuary in Kingston, Jamaica. He has a new devotional workbook titled 21 Days to Sexual Purity. It's a biblical devotional for overcoming sexual temptations. We'll discuss the importance of our physical bodies and how using our body, entering into another person emotionally and spiritually and physically, is the unique kind of sin that the Apostle Paul is referring to. On today's episode of God, Sex, and You, we'll discuss three things. Number one, how sexual sin has a degrading effect on the body. Number two, why lust makes you sluggish and unproductive and angry. And number three, how science and medicine are now confirming biblical teaching and truths. Today's show is titled, "The Beauty of Our Bodies." Let's talk, Dion, about, we talked about confession, which is a godly discipline. Mm-hmm. Let's also talk, the Apostle Paul, he writes in 1 Corinthians 6:18, to flee. So we've got confession, and now we've got this idea of fleeing or running. And it's interesting because he says, every other sin that a person commits is outside the body. And this sin is against our own body. What does he mean by that?
Against our own body. Boy, that is a very tough one. But against the body, every other sin a man commits is outside the body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Sexual sin is the only sin where you enter somebody. You enter another person. The Bible says that the two, they become one. They become one flesh. No other sin is like that. Nothing else, I should say, is like that at all. You know, so sinning against the body, number one, is a sin that involves your whole being. You're putting everything in this particular sin. And surely it is when I steal something, I have used my hand, yes, and I've stolen that thing, but it has not entered my body. If I had told a lie, that's wrong, yes, but it has not entered my body. My body is being used. I'm becoming one with another person in this particular act. And Romans 1:24 actually elaborates a little bit more about sinning against your body, what is happening right there. In Romans 1:24, it says, it talks about God giving individuals over to the sinful desires of their heart, to sexual sin, to the degrading of their bodies. You know, so it has effect on the body like no other sin. Secular psychologists, they actually speak on it as well, and they say that there's no sin that there's no act, I should say, they don't use the word sin, but there's no act that produces as much guilt as sexual immorality or sexual behavior outside of the context of marriage. It produces nothing produces as much guilt. You can look also on the physical diseases that one can incur as a result of sexual sin. We can look at the myriad of that exists, chlamydia, AIDS, HTLV-1. We can go on and on about the different diseases that occur, the degrading of the body, the cancers that can be formed. Again, it's a sin that affects the body. I think in this day and age, we possibly all have some friend. I have many friends. unfortunately, who have sexually transmitted disease. And I do have, I had one friend who died from a sexually transmitted a disease that was a cancer that was as a result of a sexually transmitted disease. And so we see that it has a degrading effect on the body. So yes, so it sins against the body. It affects the body. It leads to a low self-esteem. It leads to, in the life of a man, in Proverbs 5, it says, it saps you of your strength. You give your best strength to others and your years to one who is cruel, in Proverbs 5. So you find that there are many men. I speak to many men about this particular topic. And one thing you do find about a guy who is promiscuous is that he's not productive. He's not a productive male. And his time gets sapped, his energy gets sapped, and he finds himself being highly unproductive. For women, it affects them in a different way, where you find there's a loss of value, there's a loss of self-love, there's a degrading that occurs that's very different from other sins that are committed, which are bad. But I think the end point is that all sin does lead to death, but each sin has a particular effect upon us. So the encouragement definitely is run from this thing. I think Proverbs 5 beautifully says a lot of things. You know, it says, it starts by saying, my son, do not go near the door of her house. Run, flee far from it. Proverbs 7 as well speaks to it and says, you know, that I saw among the simple a young man who lacked discretion, and he didn't realize the danger until an arrow pierces his liver, the vital organs. See, again, you're seeing that the body is affected, something vital affected, until an arrow pierces his liver, real pain, real degradation of one's body, and then he realizes something is wrong. So, you know, it's a strong encouragement to run from it, because it is not one that you go in untouched. It's not one of those things you go in untouched. You can go in and come out with a disease. You can go in and come out with something. It's not one of those, you know, I mean, all sin, the Bible says in Romans 6, that the wages of sin is death. But sexual sin is the highway to that place called the highway to death, as it's described in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. It's the highway there. So it has a degrading effect on the body, and it has an addictive effect as well. It has a pulling back again. So like an addict, he knows that this thing, my highs are my lows. When I'm low, I want to be high. But what gets me high brings me low. And that is how sexual sin is. My highs are my lows. What gets me feeling degraded and guilty and shameful is the same thing that gets me feeling pleasurable and feeling in a mood for more love, you know. So my highs are my lows, and those that's an addictive, a circular addiction that really just keeps pulling you down and down and down. So that's what it speaks to. It's a sin against you yourself. It's gonna hurt you the most. At the end of the day, it will hurt you the most, you know? So I hope I explained that well enough. Yeah.
I love, as you were speaking there, it's how basically science is confirming biblical teaching. And, you know, science and medical reports and statistics and all of these things are basically confirming everything that the Apostle Paul is talking about there. You know, there's a direct correlation between pornography and masturbation to anger. And there's a direct correlation to pornography and masturbation to depression. And those two things are, you know, they're two sides of the same coin. And now, you know, if we don't lead, you know, if we're not talking to someone who doesn't have, who isn't a child of God, who doesn't claim to have you know, the Bible as their authority and Jesus as Lord, then we can at least start there and hopefully get into the conversation of spirituality, because sexuality and spirituality, those two things are two sides of the same coin as well. Combining our spirituality with our sexuality is not something we tend to think about, is it? And when we do, I mean, let's face it, it usually seems to creep us out a bit, doesn't it? But the reality is this: our bodies proclaim the good news of the gospel. I mean, think about this. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in a perfect relationship. It's called complementarianism. They complement one another. In other words, each person of the Trinity has equal value but different roles. And it's the same with human relationships. In Genesis 1:27, we read, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about how your body doesn't make sense by itself? See, it's only when you put male and female, man and woman, together to where we see how they complement one another. Not just physically either, but emotionally and spiritually. You know, there's a tremendous amount of talk today about gender and how it's not needed, or how you can just think you're male one day, female another, binary the other. It's just all wrapped up in our head. And I've done many shows on this topic, and I would encourage you to jump on the website and listen to them. But here's my final thought for today. If gender is not needed, why was Jesus Christ born a man, born of a virgin woman? I would encourage you to read the Gospel of John chapter 1 and research how many pronouns are in that passage. And then ask yourself, why? It really is important to understand God's theology of the human body. If our bodies were bad or evil, as some religious people proclaim, would Jesus Christ ever been born? Well, of course not. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us that our bodies are so precious that they house the Holy Spirit himself. I mean, think about that, that God dwells among us in our physical bodies. And that's why when we attach ourselves, when we enter into someone and use them as an object or a piece of trash, we defile our body and then experience severe consequences. Well, tomorrow we continue our conversation with pastor and author Dion Thomas and his book, 21 Days to Sexual Purity. We'll talk about engaging with God in prayer in our sexuality. So in other words, we're going to be asking this question. Does God blush? Well, thank you for listening to God, Sex, and You. If you have a question or a comment about today's episode, you can join the conversation at dustindaniels.org and leave your comments there. Follow me on Twitter or Facebook at Purity Pastor. You can also rate the show and send the show to a friend. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus, not perfectly, but persistently. I love you, I'm praying for you, and I hope you have a great weekend.